From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of June 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will join us to take up the agricultural energy market. We'll hear about the agricultural weather forecast as we close out our program. Don Day of Day Weather will be here. And along the way, we'll update the crop conditions in Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana. Those are the five top corn-producing states of the nation. And here a little clarification of just exactly what it means when the USDA says 97% of a corn crop has been planted. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, from the CME Group on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished lower. Nearby July contract at $7.31 and a quarter from the soft red winter wheat pit, 11 and three quarters lower. September at $7.62, down 14, and July of 12 at $8.59 and three quarters, down 12 and a quarter. July corn futures 7.55 and a half, 27 cents lower. September at $7.29, down 22 and three quarters. And December corn, $6.85, 19 and a half cents lower. The March at $6.97 and a half, down 18 and three quarters. July at $7.09 and a half for next year, down 18 cents. And December of 2012 at $6.22, down 18 and three quarters. July soybean futures, $13.68, down 14 and three quarters today. August, $13.62 and a half, 15 cents lower. September, $13.60 and three quarters, down 14 and a half. And November beans at $13.63 and three quarters, down 13. January futures, $13.73 and three quarters, down 12 and three quarters. And July at $13.80 and a quarter, down 10 and three quarters. November of 2012 at $13.58 and three quarters, 9 and a half cents lower. July bean meal at $3.58.70, 11.40 lower. July soybean oil at $56.85, up 3 cents on the day. Live cattle futures finished the August contract at $105.35, up $1.32 and a half. The October at $111.52 and a half, 80 cents higher. August feeders at $127.25, up $2.47 and a half. And the September futures at $128.67 and a half, up $2.37 and a half. June lean hogs, 62 and a half cents lower at $91.85. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil, July futures, $99.23 a barrel, up $1.93. Ethanol at $2.75 and a tenth, down 2 and 6 tenths of a cent. Natural gas at $4.57 and 3 tenths of a cent, down 7 and 3 tenths. And the heating oil, again there, up $0.01 and 6 tenths at $3.12 and 2 tenths of a cent. That's diesel fuel and heating oil. June gold futures at $1,523.80, up $8.80. And the Dow now at 12,109, just about 156 points higher. The dollar at 74.33, down 0.17. The CRB index at 347.01, up 2.45 for the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area says this afternoon we'll see a 30% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms. Should be mostly cloudy in the area. High of just 77 degrees. East-southeast winds at about 14 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 17 this afternoon. Then tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely. Some of the storms could produce heavy rainfall, mostly cloudy. A low of 62 degrees in the area this evening. East-southeast winds at 11 to 15. They'll gust as high as 18. Chance of precip tonight set at 70%. Showers and thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Cloudy, a high near 74. 70% precip again. And Wednesday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, a low of 61. Thursday, partly sunny, a high of 79 degrees. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 62. Friday, sunny and 79. Friday night, chance of showers returns, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 65 degrees. By the time we get to the weekend, Saturday, partly sunny skies, a high of 86. Sunday, partly sunny, a high of 88. And on Monday, the start of the next work week, mostly sunny and a high of 89 degrees. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour when we talk with meteorologist Don Day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's start out with this news this afternoon from the Closing Market Report from Washington, D.C., where the Senate has sidetracked a move to end the federal subsidy for ethanol. That's, of course, the corn-based additive blended with gasoline to make alternative fuel. The vote was 40-59, less than a majority and far fewer than the 60 needed to advance the measure drafted by Oklahoma Republican Senator Tom Coburn. So the Senate has sidetracked a move to repeal the ethanol credit. On the phone line for this Tuesday to take a look at the futures markets with us is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. How are you?
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, so tell me about the marketplace, another down day in Chicago.
Well, you know, of course, the crop progress or the planting progress came out yesterday afternoon, Todd. We all know they were looking for 97% to 98% done in corn. We got 99%, and that's basically done. I mean, the 1% out there, and we know that there's some very wet areas that haven't got planted yet. So if they'd said 100, we would have known they'd been fibbing to us. But, you know, all in all, that was above what they were looking for, and that gives us a little bit of confidence that we're going to be closer to that government number, that 91.7, somewhere in that range along the way now as far as corn acres probably planted out there. Also along the way, to many surprise, the good to excellent rating was better than expected for corn and beans and coming along. And we've got a fairly good weather forecast coming through the heart of the Corn Belt, I will say, through the main Midwest areas and that ways to continue to progress the crop that we've got in the ground and rated pretty well. So that set a little bit of a negative tone for last night. This bit about the ethanol, which we're glad to see defeated, hung over our heads today, and we saw some fun selling that hit the market pretty hard this morning, hit some runs, some stops early.
You think the market will come back and try a little turnaround this evening and tomorrow's trade?
Well, I think that this deal with the ethanol proposition failing is going to help us have a chance to see a little bounce back tonight, Todd. The weather is continuing to look fairly good. We have to look clear into next week to maybe see some hurricane activity coming out of the Gulf that might help the Delta and the Southeast, but the Central Midwest is looking fairly good. The funds do seem just a little bit nervous now, which could put a little stall to this, but we think that this was maybe just a little bit overdone, and when we weren't able to hold the limit down, why, it gave us a little better feeling towards things.
Yeah, corn still finished the day below $7 at $6.85.
I know. It's just that's a scary thing, and I think that there will probably be a lot of people trying to sell $7 corn again just out of the way of habits of farmers.
Well, will they get the opportunity is the question.
Will they get the opportunity? Well, that's yet to be seen, but we're gonna keep hope about for that.
How about for the soy complex?
Well, the soy complex is more of a follower than anything today, but yet the same things basically apply to it in the respect that the ratings are good. We did make a lot of good progress along the way. You know, we're sort of waiting. Informa is going to come with numbers on Friday, and we'll look at those with sort of maybe put our sunglasses on because we like to shade what they say a little bit because sometimes they're a little bit biased in some of their reports. But all in all, I think that the beans are going in the ground. The weather is going to be substantial, and we have to look at what the weather from here and the rest of the year is going to be between now and harvest to see whether that crop. But South America's bean crop has been awfully good, and there's some large stocks in the world out there.
Are you willing to wait and see what happens with the acreage report before taking any new positions?
I probably so, because we moved ahead a little bit on some of our hedges when we were above $7 on the corn. We did above $14 on the beans, and I do think that we're probably going to sit back and before we add any more coverage.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
And that is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Now, if you'd like to hear Wayne again, you can do that in a couple of ways. Of course, you can hear him on radio stations. You can hear him on our website at willag.org, or you can dial this number. It's 217-333-333. 317-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. We call that our mobile analyst portal. It's just voicemail, updated at about 3:15 each and every afternoon and 10:15 each and every morning, with either the opening or the closing market numbers and a bit of analysis. On Tuesday, of course, you'll hear Wayne in that segment. It's at 217-333-3434.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Yesterday, USDA NAS released the weekly crop progress report. It showed 99% of the nation's corn crop had been planted as of June 12. That's the same as the rolling five-year average. Ohio farmers, who had lagged terribly, finally caught up and now have 97% of their intended corn acreage planted. Although, I asked for some clarification on that point. The USDA survey asks what percentage of corn acres are left to plant as of today. It ignores acres originally destined for corn but no longer intended for that crop for one reason or another. So, for instance, and this is my opinion, Ohio's 97% represents a moving target that was likely dropped over the last 2 weeks. Nonetheless, the corn in the ground is now considered nationwide to be in 56% good and 13% excellent condition. The soybean crop tallies in at 57% good and 10% excellent, with 87% of the expected acreage sown. Now here are the state statisticians from the five top corn-producing states in the nation with updates from their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending June 12, 2011. The week began with hot, humid weather, with producers spraying, side-dressing nitrogen, and cutting and baling hay before precipitation and cooler temperatures moved in at midweek. Heavy rainfall in central and south central Iowa caused some ponding, while flood concerns worsened along the Missouri River. Fortunately, most of the heavy rain fell outside the Missouri River watershed, although flood waters were gradually rising and farmers have moved anything that can be moved to higher ground. Weekly rainfall totals range from a tenth of an inch in west-central Iowa to an unofficial 9.33 inches south of Norwalk in Warren County. Statewide average precipitation for the week at 1.67 inches was above the normal of 1.09 inches, while temperatures averaged 4 degrees above normal. With almost all of the corn crop emerged, the condition improved to 84% good to excellent from 81% last week. Soybean planting is 98% complete and emergence advanced to 92%, both slightly ahead of last year and the five-year average, with the condition of the crop rated 82% good to excellent, up 3 points from last week. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is David Ward, agricultural statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending June 12th. Warm and sunny conditions early in the week gave crops a boost and provided nice working conditions before strong to severe thunderstorms covered most of the state late in the week. Temperatures averaged 75 degrees, nearly 5 degrees above normal for this time of year, and rainfall came in at 2/5 of an inch above normal for the 7-day period ending June 12th. Growing degree days since May 1 ended the week at 716, which is 47 days ahead of the historic average. Corn planting is nearing completion at 99% complete. This compares to 100% planted last year and 98% for the five-year average. 97% of the crop was reported emerged compared to 98% last year and 95% for the five-year average. The average height of all corn in the state was 14 inches compared to 26 inches 1 year ago and 19 inches for the five-year average. 69% of the corn crop was rated in either good or excellent condition, slightly better than last week. Soybean planted ended the week at 92% complete compared to 90% on this date last year and 84% for the five-year average. 76% of the crop was reported emerged compared to 79% 1 year ago and 71% for the five-year average. 66% of the soybean crop was rated in either good or excellent condition. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 96% of the head's field, compared to 92% 1 year ago and 91% for the 5 year average. 19% of the crop was reported ripe, compared to 23% for the 5 year average. 56% of the winter wheat crop was rated in either good or excellent condition, unchanged from a week earlier. This has been David Ward with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Nebraska Field Office with the Weather and Crops Report for the week ending June 12, 2011. Warm, dry conditions early in the week boosted crop development and provided an opportunity for hay crops to be harvested. In addition, winds died down, allowing herbicide applications to occur. Statewide, many of the remaining fields of soybeans and sorghum were planted last week, and dry bean and proso millet seedings were active in the west. Corn condition rated mostly good to fair, below last year, with 98% of the crop emerged. Soybean conditions also rated mostly good to fair and were also below 2010. Wheat was just beginning to turn color in the southern counties, near 9 days behind average. The first cutting of alfalfa was behind last year and 59% complete statewide. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director of the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report. Limited precipitation allowed planting to near completion for the several crops. As of June 12th, planting of barley, green peas, and potatoes was virtually complete at 98% or greater. Planting of dry beans, sweet corn, and sunflowers advanced at least 19 percentage points, though all three crops remained behind last year and average. 6 days were rated suitable for fieldwork statewide, the highest number so far this year. Topsoil moisture supplies rated surplus were 14%, a decline of 30 percentage points from the previous week. Statewide temperatures were nearly average during the week, despite record heat that prevailed in some central and southern areas earlier in the week. Soybean planted jumped 19 points to 94% complete. Soybeans emerged gained 29 points to 67%. This compares to 94% last year and 90% for the 5-year average. The first soybean condition rating of the season were 3% poor, 21% fair, 63% good, and 13% excellent. 93% of spring wheat was emerged and 19% was jointed, while 96% of oats were emerged and 32% were jointed. Crop conditions for all small grains improved from the previous week. This is Dan Loftus for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS. The week began extremely hot and rain-free, providing farmers with 5.2 days suitable for field work. Total precipitation during the week ranged from 11 1/7 inch to 2.6 inches. 96% of the corn acreage has been planted, compared with 100% last year and 98% for the 5-year average. Planting of corn is coming to an end, and some acreage will be switched to soybeans or left idle due to the lateness of the season. 81% of the corn acreage has emerged, compared with 96% last year and 92% for the 5-year average. Planting of soybeans progressed at a rapid pace during the week and is now about 7 days behind last year and 6 days behind the 5-year average. 78% of the intended soybean acreage has been planted, compared with 87% last year and 86% for the 5-year average. 96% of the winter wheat acreage has headed, compared with 100% last year and 99% for the 5-year average. The winter wheat crop has started to turn color in southern and central areas, with harvest expected to begin in the next few weeks. Farmers were also busy replanting drowned out spots, spraying herbicides, and applying nitrogen to their corn acreage. The first cutting of hay is reported to be heavy and of good quality. Livestock remain in mostly good condition. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Our thanks to the state statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana for their weekly updates of crop progress across those regions. Now, in just a moment, we'll take up the agricultural energy market. Stephen Platt will be here. Just a quick reminder for you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you'll find everything from our pre-opening market report to the closing market report and a way to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. It's all part of the Agricultural Service from Illinois Public Media. Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services is on the phone line this afternoon to take a look at the agricultural energy markets. Good afternoon to you, Steve. How are you today?
Real fine.
Hey, if you could, take a look at not the agricultural energies, but the energies in general. Tell me what's been happening in the crude oil market and if you can discern from it whether a double dip for our economy is in the offing.
Well, at this juncture, it's still, I think, very questionable. The crude market has come under some considerable pressure, but the product markets are still quite firm relative to crude oil in terms of the margins still being quite strong.
And the products would be?
Both gasoline and distillate.
And so those have remained strong. Do you see a reason for crude to be backing off from its recent highs?
I do. I think there is still a lot of question marks over the demand side. We've certainly seen some efforts at conservation in terms of people driving a little bit less with the gasoline as high as it's been. All those factors, along with some uncertainty with respect to the Chinese economy and some of their moves to try to arrest some of the rabid demand for cars and the like in that country, are having some impact in terms of not seeing the kind of growth that many people had expected in crude oil.
So your view of this, at least at this point, is that a large portion of it is world demand for crude has been lessening, in particular in China, as opposed to U.S. demand.
Well, I think it's a combination. Certainly the developed countries have seen weak demand pretty pronounced here, and some of the growth that people were looking for, they're starting to maybe write off, at least here near term.
Were you glad to see in Washington, D.C., that the senators decided that it was okay to leave the ethanol credits alone?
Well, you know, they're probably going to just let them lapse at the end of the year. I think it was kind of surprising that they even addressed the issue here, given how short of a time period that we have between the time they actually lapse and this vote.
And would it have made any difference?
Not a lot.
Because ethanol, demand for ethanol remains strong, right?
Correct. And we have seen certainly the margins turn to the negative here over the past week. That was, they've reached at about 10 cent loss. They probably have reached one of the highest levels in terms of that number that they have in some time. Mm. So it is starting to have an impact in terms of the corn price. And the corn price will be a key focus, I think, as we move ahead.
And tell me what that means in July, August, when we're short of new crop, don't have new crop at all, and we're short of old crop supplies for corn.
That's right. And that is a big concern. That's going to be a big driver, particularly if market forces start to take hold.
Any other broad perspectives you'd like to share with us?
Well, I think the energy markets here are rather calm relative to some of the other potential markets, such as corn, where certainly tightness is evident, not only for this year but next year as well. That those markets are certainly ones that are going to have the primary focus.
Steve, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Steve Platt is with Archer Financial Services. He's in Chicago, Illinois. It's an ADM affiliate. Joins us on a Tuesday once a month to talk about the agricultural energy markets. In just 2 minutes, I'll return and we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, about the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Strawberry Shortcake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1834, Cyrus Hall McCormick patented his reaping machine. In 1854, Towned Glover was commissioned as the first U.S. federal entomologist. He was selected as a, quote, expert for collecting statistics and other information on seeds, fruits, and insects in the United States. His first report was printed that same year. In 1884, New York became the first state to pass laws requiring the bearing of utility wires in any incorporated city over 500,000 people. In 1938, Dr. Benjamin Gruskin received a patent for chlorophyll as a therapeutic agent for use in treatment of infection of the bloodstream and for open cuts and wounds. In 1972, the Environmental Protection Agency banned DDT in the U.S. And in 1988, peanut butter sandwiches saved the day. Students in a school were kept in an extra 45 minutes by a 6-foot black bear that had wandered onto the playground. They kept it at bay by tossing out peanut butter sandwiches until the game warden arrived to take the bear away. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is on the phone line. Don, things have started to shape up in the Midwest for the corn and the soybean crops. Can we count on some continuing good weather conditions?
Well, yeah. No, one thing we will definitely see is it not being nearly as hot. We are going to see the nation's midsection and the East Coast, which has been looking at some very hot weather here over the last 7 to 10 days, get back to temperatures closer to normal, if not some days below normal. And this is going to also be associated with some pretty good chances for occasional shower and thunderstorm activity across the Midwest. I would call it a pretty favorable pattern. No concentrated areas of rain sitting on one area for too long, but there's going to be opportunities to pick up shower and thunderstorm activity off and on well through the next week to 10 days.
And you see anything further out that causes you concern?
Well, not at the moment. I do think that the bout of heat that we did see is not likely to return probably for the rest of the month. I think we're going to probably see temperatures hovering much closer to normal. We may, in fact, have some areas in the northwest part of the United States, some of the Dakotas, maybe Minnesota, those areas may be a little bit too cool.
Then turn your attention further west. The folks in Iowa and the Missouri Valley River Basin would like things to cool off, maybe further to the west of them, and slow the snow melt. And might that come, or are they looking for more heat?
Well, the snow melt in the west, which still has probably a good 2 weeks left in it, because there's still just tremendous amounts of snow left. I'm afraid for those areas, especially where they're concerned about flooding, is the forecast really isn't all that good, because the runoff will continue out of the Rockies, and there's going to be some fairly good chances for shower and thunderstorm activity over Iowa, over the eastern Dakotas, over Minnesota. Those areas are going to have some good opportunities, I'm afraid to say, to have more concerns with flooding.
Now take me on a tour of the rest of the planet and the hot spots that you do or don't see.
Well, let's go over to Europe. Those areas, which have had many areas that have been very dry. Lately, the prospects for rain over most of Europe has gotten a lot better. And boy, we sure see that continuing, at least into the next week or so. Spain is going to be dry, maybe a little bit of Italy, but France, Germany, the UK, the Ukraine, and even some portions of Russia have some decent opportunities for precipitation.
Don, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. You can hear him again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. It's part of the service from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.